This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
Lord, we're always so grateful and thankful, dear God, that we can approach the throne of the Almighty God. And Lord, we're like children, dear God, that can come running up to their father and just jump in their laps, dear God, and my God, look in their face, and my God, just express anything. And Lord, that's how we feel when we bow our heads before you, dear Lord. You told us that we can come boldly to the throne, dear God, and Lord God, here we are, so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord God, for the messages. Thank you, Lord God, for the vessels that you've used. Thank you, Lord God, for the songs that we've heard, dear God, and the testimonies, dear Father. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for the deliverance, Lord, you have already made, dear God. And we pray, Lord, today that you will continue to work, Lord. Father, of ourselves, we are nothing, dear God. We can do nothing, dear God. Lord, your spirit must fill this place, Lord. You're trained, dear God. God must fill, Lord God, this auditorium, dear God. Speak to hearts, Lord. Speak to all of us, Lord. We all, my God, Lord, stand in need of you, dear God. My God, Lord, we all, dear God, Lord, have a need, dear Lord. And Father, we pray, God, that it would be met. Father, God, Lord, we have a concern for souls today. My God, Lord, those that are not saved. Lord, might you deliver. Might you break the chains of sin. My God, that have bound many, dear Lord. My God, Lord, that don't know you, dear Father. And even those of us, dear God, my God, that are saved, dear God, there are still things of deliverance, Lord, that need to be made, dear God. We ask, Lord God, for deliverance. Bless and have your way. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm grateful, as always, for the love and hospitality of the congregation here. I want to give a special shout out to Brother Aaron, Sister Alice. They had me at their home, and I dined like a king. You know, my brother, I don't know if you're out there, but I miss that care box you said that you're going to give me. I walked out of there and didn't get it. But I'll check with you, all right? Love everyone here. And we're praying that the Word of God will have his, it will do his office work. As we mentioned, we're all standing in the need of prayer, every one of us. We need the Lord, whether we're saved or whether we're not saved, we need the Lord. There are things that we encounter in life that it can knock us for a loop, and we need to be able to grab hold of the hand of God to help us through life. So, as I mentioned, I have a burden, and I'm asking that you would hold me up in prayer, okay? Will you do that for me? Amen. All right. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of St. Mark. Mark the 10th chapter, please. Amen. Mark the 10th chapter. And this is a very familiar story, very familiar passage of scripture that we want to look at. It's about an individual that many of us, we've heard the name over and over again, Mark 10, and we'll start reading there at the 46th verse and read on down to the 51st verse, please.
And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people.
All right. Speaking of Jesus, he came to Jericho with the disciples, and Jesus, as he traveled, he would always seem to get the attention of great crowds of people. And so he went there, and a great number of people were there. Come on.
Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging.
And there was this individual, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind, and he experienced some things. I can't even begin to say what Bartimaeus was going through. Was blind, and not only was he blind, but Bartimaeus was a beggar. The scripture tells us who his father was, but as I read this, I asked the question, where was his father? Where was his parents? Where were they as Bartimaeus was on the roadside begging? And where was his relatives? Where were the people that said that they loved him? Where were those that would look out for an individual like this? Where were the support for Bartimaeus? You know, it said those that are blind, they even have a problem sleeping sometimes because their natural clock is off. They can't tell the difference between day and night, and so often they struggle through sleep and being able to recognize when they should go to sleep and when they don't, and sometimes they find themselves falling asleep when they shouldn't. And Bartimaeus, he couldn't see colors, and he couldn't see his family, and the man was hurting.
Amen.
He was hurting. And so as they were traveling, amen, they came upon this man laying by the or sitting by the highway begging. Come on, my brother.
And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth.
And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth.
He began to cry out.
He began to cry out.
And say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Bartimaeus realized, amen, I may not get another chance. I may not be able to see Jesus, and he may not ever come my way again. Amen. And so what I have to do, I need to get his attention. And so Bartimaeus began to cry out, Jesus, son of God, have mercy on me. Help me, God.
Amen.
He thought, listen, that it may not ever happen again. He may not ever come my way. I need to cry out. Amen. I want to say to those, amen, that may not be saved on this morning. Amen. Listen, you may not get another chance.
Amen.
Jesus is passing by. This is the time to cry out to him. This is the time to say, Lord, help me.
Amen. Amen.
This is the time. Come on, my brother.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace.
And many, they began to charge him. You hold your peace. And that's how people are. Some people, they think that they know. The experts and the know-it-alls, they want to try to tell you what you need to do. Amen. When you need to do is get to God. But they were begin to tell Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. You're being too loud. You're disturbing him. Listen, nobody who's in need, amen, and they call out to Jesus, nobody disturbs him. Amen. He's always listening. He always got an ear. Amen. Listen, he's leaning down. Leaning down. Waiting to hear. Looking to see. amen. I love, amen, what Brother Sergio Reyes said. Amen. Listen, he goes by the house of mourning, looking for those that are mourning, looking for those that are in need, looking for those that are in pain, looking for those that need help. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. And we have to realize that, amen, as saints of God, amen, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, we need to ask God, Lord, when there's an opportunity, let me tell people. Because people put on, listen, people put on masks. You hear what I'm saying? They put on masks. Some people even come to church, amen, and they put on masks, amen, but they have a need, they're hurting, amen, but they put that theatrical smiling face on.
Right. Amen. Amen.
How you doing? I'm fine. When really in their heart and in their spirit, it looks like the other one. Amen. I've learned something, amen, some people, amen, they will leave church, and then, amen, they want to come back, and they want to give us the impression, amen, I'm living the life, of Riley since I left y'all. But I know better. Sin will take you further than you want to go.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Sin, listen, amen. There is no happy, no true joy out there in sin. It ain't there.
Amen.
Okay, you can enjoy the pleasures of sin. How long?
For a season.
Oh. I've encountered people, amen, that have backslidden and gone out there in the world, amen, and you can see how sin, amen, has had, amen, such a work on them. Tired them out. And then they want to come back and tell me, listen, amen, what God, and then they get religious too. They even go to church. What God, my God. So what I do, my brother, I begin to talk to them about their life.
Amen.
Okay, you feel free to go out there and party. You feel free to go out there, amen, and bed hop. Let me hear about your life. See, because, amen, one thing I'm confident in is that God has placed another preacher, even when you don't want to come and hear truth, there's another preacher, a personal preacher that God put in you, and that's your conscience.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes. That personal preacher, amen, he will tell you when you're wrong. And tell you when you're right.
Right, amen.
Here was Bartimaeus. Oh my God, the man was hurting. Come on.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace.
Yes, and many charged him, amen, that you should hold your peace. Come on.
But he cried the more a great deal.
He cried the more a great deal. Come on, my brother.
Thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. Come on.
And Jesus stood still.
And Jesus, he got Jesus' attention, stopped him in his tracks.
And commanded him to be called.
Amen. I believe Jesus got to a point, amen, where he tired of hearing everybody else saying, tell him to shut up, tell him to be quiet. Amen. And Jesus, amen, in my mind said to them, you shut up.
Amen.
You shut up.
Amen.
Tell him I said, come here. So he beckoned, amen, for Bartimaeus. Come on.
And they called to the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee.
Okay, come on, my brother, come on.
And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus answered and said unto him,
And Jesus said to him,
What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight.
Listen.
And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
All right, okay.
And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I like what Jesus did. Amen. You would think that Jesus, looking at his situation, knew what the man wanted. But Jesus asked him a question. He said, What do you want me to do for you? What's your problem? What do you need me to do? You know, if you will allow me, I want to enlarge on that a little bit, because it wasn't that Jesus did not know. He want us to recognize what's wrong with us. And point out, admit what the issue is. What's wrong with you? Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? And that's what I want to use as a title. Where does it hurt? You know, we encounter things in life, and as we encounter things in life, often the only way that we're going to get the healing that we need, amen, we need to recognize where it hurts.
Amen.
You know, you can hurt from just the grind of life. You can hurt from grief, or maybe you lost a child, not through death, but just through a broken relationship. You follow me? You know, I read something. It says that when they're young, they step on your toes. But when they get older, they step on your heart. You know, sometimes that's true. That's true. Religion can hurt people, unfortunately. Now, I want you to mark what I said. I said religion, not God.
Amen. Amen.
People can't seem to separate the two. You know, they want to point the finger at God and say, God, why did you let this, and what happened, and God, and I was at church, and what they did and what they said. No, it wasn't God. Religion can hurt people. I'm asked, why is it that in our day and time we're seeing so many suicide among youths? Why? The question we should be asking is, where does it hurt?
Amen.
What's hurting them? What's bringing it about? Amen. Let's turn to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark 9. You know, people, they need a deliverance when they're not saved. They need to be delivered from sin.
Right.
But it's not just sinners that need deliverance. You know, we can get saved and still be holding on to some things. Amen. And we need to be delivered from those things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm coming to realize that more and more, Pastor Goble. I've asked God, God, why so many councils? Why so broken? So many marriages having problems? Why so many issues? Even among preachers. Now, you can get quiet on me if you want.
That's good, brother.
Many preachers. They have issues. They're not growing up. They're still immature. They're still holding on to some things that happened to them when they were younger, or somebody else. And then when they come, amen, they pastor church. Amen. They meet another pastor. Amen. They can't reconcile things. So you, things happen, amen, that trigger, and listen, that happens with people.
Amen, amen.
There are trigger factors. Trigger factors. Y'all praying for me.
Amen, brother.
Trigger factors. And the next thing you know, amen, there's division, there's chaos. In Mark, the 9th chapter, 14 through 18, please, my brother. Amen. It's about a young boy, that was possessed with the dumb and deaf spirit. Read that for me, my brother.
And when he came to his disciples,
come on.
He saw a great multitude about them.
Okay, come on.
And the scribes questioning with them.
Amen. Jesus, he came to his disciples, saw so many people around them. Questioning them. Come on.
And straightway all the people,
yes,
when they beheld him,
yes,
were greatly amazed.
Yes.
And running to him, saluted him.
Yes.
And he asked the scribes, what question you with them?
Why do you question them? Amen. Listen, amen. When Jesus asks a question, it's not a frivolous or wasted words.
Amen. And one of the most.
He has an objective. Even when he asks blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Amen. As we said, he knew, but he has an objective when he asks a question. He's trying to get to something. Amen. And often, amen, his questions can be unnerving. Because, I can imagine Bartimaeus could have said to Jesus, Captain Obvious. In respect, okay? In respect. But Jesus, after something, is meant to unnerve. His questions are meant to realign. His questions are meant to transform.
Right.
And his questions also are meant, amen, to subvert old assumptions. See, because we a lot of times we deal with things with assumptions, what we think we know. It was one time, amen, when the disciples asked Jesus when it talked about the Tower of Siloam, and so what do you think? Who sinned? You know how we get, Church of God. I like what Brother Chancellor said. You know, we become sin-centric. Is that how you? Sin-centric. Yes. Everything's about sin. Everything. You know, they have a mental problem because it was sin. And we listen. One thing we got to realize, this brain, it gets old like any other part of our bodies.
Right.
But you know, we take the scripture. He'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him.
Amen.
And what we say is, nobody should have a problem mentally if they're saved. It must be sin. Old assumptions.
Amen.
Jesus wants to subvert those assumptions.
That's right.
Read, my brother, read, please.
And one of the multitude answered and said,
yeah, yeah.
Master, I have brought unto thee my son.
I brought to you my son. This father, he was hurting. I brought to you my son, come on.
Which hath a dumb spirit.
Which hath a dumb spirit.
And wheresoever he taketh him.
Wherever he take him.
He teareth him.
Yes.
And he foameth. And gnasheth with his teeth.
Yes.
And pineth away.
Yes.
And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.
You know, listen, there's a saying that goes like this. Hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. Hurt people hurt people. Now, whatever was going on with this boy, he was hurting his dad. His father was hurting. He brought his son. Amen. I would imagine. Amen. He had to deal with whatever his boy was doing and some of his actions. Amen. But somehow he was able to get him to the disciples, and he was thinking in his mind, if I could just get him to the disciples, he's going to be healed. And I imagine the boy was all over the place. But he thought, listen, I have come to the place where healing is. He brought him to the disciples, and the disciples could do nothing. He turned around, and it's really interesting what he said when Jesus came. He said, I brought him to you. He didn't say, I brought him to the disciples. I brought him to you. Huh. Hurt people hurt people. You know, it's well known that those that are especially emotionally damaged, they tend to inflict their hurt and pain on other people. You know, it's a large percentage of those who are sexually abused, they become abusers themselves. If you had an alcoholic parent, often they become an alcoholic. Hurt people hurt people. And then it leads them to certain beliefs. You take an individual that was molested when they were younger. Pastor Dukes, you shouldn't be bringing that up in the pulpit. Listen, it happens.
Amen. Amen.
It happens.
Right.
How many of us have had some strange or kooky uncle? I did. And thank God that my mom and my aunt recognized it. That weird uncle. I'm gonna pick you up and put you on their lap. Can I be real with you all?
Amen. Amen, brother.
I'm just being real.
Amen, brother.
They're weird, and they want to do these things, and if it can affect someone, whether it be a boy or girl.
Yeah.
And as they get older, they have this redefinition of a relationship. I'm trying to be discreet. They have a problem with relationships. Wounded, brother. Wounded souls. Wounded spirits.
Right.
Wounded emotionally. Wounded mentally. Wounded! Brother, amen. But thank God, amen, that there is one, amen, that is able to help us, because he wants to know, where does it hurt?
Amen.
Where does it hurt? We're wondering, amen, why, amen, we're having councils on marriages and different things of this sort, and why relationally they can't come together, and you just, it's just a big question. And God's asking, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Why? Where? What's going on with you? A few years ago, God put a burden on my wife to have a child abuse seminar. And we advertised it to the community. And she called it I Need an Angel. It went very well. Went very well. Had one of the saints from Tampa, as a matter of fact, to come. She was our guest speaker. Man, it was amazing, because, you know, you could see teenagers breaking down. They were breaking down. And they had stories to tell. And these were people out of the neighborhood. We didn't know enough about them to be able to report anything. And of course, they didn't know us enough to want to tell us enough information. Because I would have told. You know, I've encountered people And in talking to them, people have gotten so belligerent, confronting me while dealing with certain issues. But I learned something. Don't you take it personal. Don't. It's not about you. It's what's going on with them. It's what's going on with them.
Right.
And they're projecting it onto you. They and so they want to feel better. And I know we're living in a time of the age of being a victim. I understand that. But listen, people even need to be healed from that.
Amen.
Because it's a spirit.
Amen, that's good.
And they're carrying some type of pain. You know, in Job, we don't have to go there. But, you know, Job was hurting. After he lost his family and his possessions, and he was struck physically, Job was hurting.
Right.
And at first, you know, you read about Job, and you know his wife came to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job was like, "Listen, you talk like a foolish woman. I got my mind made up.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. Wait a minute. I'm not even going to address that. But I'm going to tell you something. Some situations, it goes on and on and on and on. And it began to affect Job. And I'm not saying what Job said was right and that we should go there or anything like that. But I want to tell you, Job got to a place where he started questioning God. Yes, he did. And listen, I don't have a problem with that. God, listen, he told us to come boldly to the throne. We can ask God anything.
Amen.
Yes, we can. You just have the right spirit when you do it.
Right. Amen.
We can ask him anything. I mean, dark questions began to come up with Job. I mean, he was asking God, like, why do you keep wretched people like me alive anyway? Why was I born? How come the knees didn't prevent me? He even asked God one time, why do you put a target on my back? Why am I your target? You made me. Why you turn around now? You want to kill me? He wanted to know why. But I want you to understand something. Amen. And note the patience of God dealing with Job. God was so patient and so loving. I've had to, as I've encountered some things in my pastorate, I just didn't know where to go to get an answer. So I looked to the Lord Almighty because it was things that I had never heard anybody, any preacher ever express. Because listen, in the generation prior, there are just certain things you don't say to another pastor. There, you have questions. You don't ask that, because now the big question is, you telling me God called you to the ministry and you can't deal with that? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And there, listen, there's some pastors here, they ain't saying nothing yet, but it's they know what I'm talking about. They know. But God was loving and merciful to Job and heard Job out, amen, and let Job go, amen. And then finally God was like, that's enough, boy. Now, let me put it back in place, okay? Where were you when I set the universe in place?
Right.
How is it that I put the earth on an axle and have it spinning and you can't see it? Tell me. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes God got to put us back in our place.
Right. Amen.
See, because if you go too far with God, God know how to. He don't even have to push back. God just say. God just say. And then we're like, oh God, okay, I'm sorry. Where does it hurt? Psalm 41 and 9. I'm trying to get through it, my brother. I don't want to hold us too long, but I'm trying to get to it. Psalm 41 and 9, what does it say?
Yea, my own familiar friend.
Come on.
In whom I trusted. Which did eat of my bread.
Yes.
Hath lifted up his heel against me.
Yes. Listen, this is what the psalmist said. He said, amen, my close friend who I trusted. Amen. He came to my house and he sat down and he ate. And amen, he lifted his heel against me. I want to ask you something. Has anyone ever hurt you? Have you ever been hurt by somebody you love or respected? Y'all quiet. Amen. Don't want to admit. But I can say it for you. Yes, you have.
Right, amen.
Mm-hmm. Hurt by somebody you love or respect it. Listen, it can happen even at church. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes, you know what people do? They go and they lick their wounds. And then they come to a point where they say, I ain't never going back to church. Their pain become bitterness. Somebody that they love. And sometimes it happens in marriages. You know, and often the example is given of the men, but there are times that wives do it to their husbands. Oh, the women have gotten quiet and the men like... What is he gonna say? Can't understand how come their wife belittled them. She used to think so highly of me. I'm bringing home the bread. I'm making the donuts. I'm faithful. I'm emotionally there for her. She wanna talk. And I sit there and I listen. Oh boy. Why is my wife so insecure? She gets jealous even if I look at another woman. Almost any disagreement irritates her. And she getting mean. Why is she always so angry with me? And then when I sit and talk to her, she bring up some momentary irritation that upset her. Nothing ever bigger than that, just some momentary irritation. Why does she react like this? I told you I'm being real, didn't I?
Amen.
All right. I want to talk about stop clocks. Stop clocks. You know, some things stop the clock in some people's lives. They can't get past that past situation. It stops them right there. I'm going to go back to, a young lady is abused. She's 12 years old. 12 years old is abused. Never dealt with, never brought to the forefront, never really dealt with the way it should be. And as she gets older, her interaction with men, it's so sketchy and iffy. You know why? Her clock stopped back there. She's constantly reverting back to what happened. And she can't get it out of her mind. Time stands still. People relive the moment, that the instant that situation happened, over and over in their mind, they're reliving it. They go through life month after month, year after year. But the clock has stopped way back when they were hurt. Their emotional maturity has stopped right there at that age because it was undealt with. And what they do is begin to develop habit patterns. They begin to do things, and you wonder sometimes why some people act the way that they do. Either they are at a distance or they're very clingy. And I'm not saying that everybody that's like that, they had some type of sexual abuse. I'm just saying that there's a cause for those things.
Right.
There's a cause. And you can even be saved and you're like that. And you don't even understand it.
Right.
You can't even perceive it.
Right.
I'm talking to us, Church of God.
Amen.
Mark 2, please. Mark 2. Gotta rush through this. And there's several negative things happen when we're hurt. You feel abandoned and neglected and traumatized. Mark 2. And let's go straight to the scripture. The 17th verse, please.
When Jesus heard it,
yeah,
he saith unto
he
them.
He said to them.
They that are whole have no need of the physician.
Those that are whole, they don't have need of a physician.
But they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Listen, amen. Jesus, he came, amen, to make us whole. First, amen, to call sinners to repentance, to deliver us out of sin. Amen. Because that's the first step to us being holistically well. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from the life of sin. Because it's sin that will mess you up.
Right. Amen.
So, amen. The scripture describes him as the great physician. Amen. The physician that's able, amen, to save you and to heal your soul. But your soul not just needs to be healed. Your spirit needs to be healed. Your mind needs to be healed.
Right.
Emotionally, you need to be healed.
Amen.
See, but you know, often people that, amen, are out there in sin, amen, they come looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. And we need to take what Jesus tell us. Because Jesus is not here to give us spiritual tips. Well, let me give you a tip. No, listen. He sent his word to heal the people.
Right.
Glory to God.
He didn't give us tips that perhaps we can get there, but he sent his word to heal. He sent his word, amen, to take care of the need.
Amen.
And I'm praying that this morning that the word of God would find whatever ails you and heal you.
Amen. Amen.
Because I still believe in healing. I believe in physical healing. I believe in mental healing.
Amen.
I believe in emotional healing. I believe God can do it all.
Amen.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And there's a way to healing. But I want to warn you, it involves another kind of pain. And that's the pain that the word can inflict on you. Often, in order to be helped, you gotta be hurt.
Yeah,
You know, when you go see a doctor, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, I injured my back. I don't know, I may have told the congregation about this, I don't know. But anyway, I injured my back. And I went to see the doctor. Well, listen, my whole back was hurting. My whole back, my entire back. I sneezed and it had dropped me to the floor. I would be on my knees and I couldn't hardly get out of bed. I just didn't know what was going on. And this went on for days. And finally, went to the doctor to find out what's going on with me. And the doctor said, where does it hurt? I was like, well, my whole back was hurting. Come here, my brother. I was like, my whole back is hurting. I'm trying to turn around. He said, does it hurt right here? I said, no, I mean, just a little bit here. Not right here, right here. No, just a little bit right here. Ow! He found it.
Amen.
He found the source. He had to hurt me to find out where it was.
Amen.
And sometimes God will allow that to happen with us. Hurt us. It happened with Peter. You know, Peter, God had told him about that there was no difference between Jews and Gentiles, and he gave him the vision of the sheet and all that. Then here he is with other disciples, and he and James, and they were talking with the Gentiles and all that, and Peter saw some of the Orthodox Jews come, and Peter was like, he left, separated himself. The scripture says about Peter and James, who was supposed to be pillars. Well, see, healing is not just in the sense of you have some type of wound emotionally or physically like that. But listen, Peter's prejudiceness needed to be healed. He had a tumor-sized prejudice issue in his body. It had taken root because God had already dealt with him. Why was he still acting like this here? Because it had taken root. So what God said, listen, I'm going to take care of you once and for all. Here was Paul. Paul, he had just gotten saved. He wasn't saved as long as Peter. But when he saw that, God used Paul. Mm-hmm. He told him, he said, listen. And God said, I'm about to put some healing on you, Peter.
Right.
You're the blame. You know better. You need to be healed of this. If I'm going to use you, you need to be healed of this. You're to blame. I would imagine Peter probably was embarrassed. His pride may have come up and all of that. But God didn't care about his pride.
Amen.
He needed to be healed.
Amen.
How many of us have prejudiceness and other things that the Lord has shown us already? And we're wondering how come things are happening on our jobs and out there at school and in the streets and all that. And we're saying it's the devil. And it may be God trying to heal you. Sometimes we bear the guilt of causing pain to other people. Some people cause division, disruptions, chaos. And God said, listen, I got to heal you, boy. So now you got to go under my surgical knife called the Word of God.
Amen.
And God began, amen, to bring things up. God began to dig deeper. At first you were able to push people off, because you know sometimes when people notice what your problem is, they'll say something and you learn how to get them off you. You know how to say it. You gotta push them off. Get off me. Oh, you talk too much too. Yeah, I listen, I know I didn't, I know that I didn't pay you back. But you probably didn't pay somebody back too. Here, and you told them you're gonna pay them back 6 months ago, and you still got their money. You need to be healed. Quit being mooch. You need to be healed from the spirit of mooching. Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt?
Amen.
Where does it hurt? And listen, I see some people looking at me, bro. And that's all right. You hurting. You hurt. That's good.
Right.
Now come get your healing.
Amen. Amen.
Isaiah 61 and 1. And we'll close with this. Well, you know, I'm going to say this, you know, and God, and during those times, God, he will reveal things to us, and he tried to show it to us while we're younger, but because as you get older, you know, it is true, people get set in their ways. You get set in your ways. Listen, and what do you mean? That can be good and bad. Because listen, if you are open and humble and easy to entreat and listen as you're growing up, that's how you'll be as you get older. But if you don't want to listen, people try to tell you stuff, and then as you get older, you know, you'll get hard, cynical. What's that?
Afraid.
That's right, my brother. That is right. Okay. 61 and 1, my brother.
The spirit
of Isaiah.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Oh, yes, he has.
To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, he's come as that physician to heal. You know, there's a song that says, people need the Lord. Are you familiar with that? It says, every day they pass me by, I see it in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus here. But people need the Lord.
Amen.
People need the Lord.
Amen.
Where does it hurt? Just tell them. Tell them where it hurts. Where it hurts. Lord, it hurts right here. Right here, God. This is where it hurts. This is what I'm dealing with, God. It hurts right here. I recognize it right here, God. Right here. I'm tired of the facade. I'm tired of the face. I'm tired of the mask. It hurts right here. He's come to heal. Let him heal you. God bless you.